On welcome to another episode of the Live Your Full Potential podcast. This is the first, oh no, that's not true. I was going to say it's the first non-interview podcast, but I actually did a podcast just myself last week. I hope you guys enjoyed that. I thoroughly enjoyed sharing the message that came off the back of me going for a ride on one of my bikes. Fitness for me is not about the physical. It's about the physical and the mental and the spiritual. And I had a very, very spiritual moment that I shared. So make sure you go check out that last episode. Today we have Mr. Matt Grady.
Hey, JP. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Dude, so good to have you here. To those that don't know, Matt is coaching director of JPDV Performance. He's also taken on a kind of new role just because of a change in the team. But Matt is the definition of all in. And I'm really looking forward to, like I said, this is not an interview. I'm really looking forward to having a conversation with Matt and sharing it with you. There's two intentions for this podcast episode. I wanted to bring Matt on to talk about, strange or coincidentally, I was thinking about something whilst I was cycling on a different day. And I was thinking about this idea that some people say, oh, screw doing what you love. You just have to grind. And other people are like, no, you just have to love what you do and everything will come to you. And Matt and myself share the same view. And that's that for you to really live your best life, you've got to grind in doing what you love. And not even that you've got to, you want to, when you're really, really doing what you love, why would you want a day off for it? So we're going to talk about that, but we're going to start on the second point and then get back to that afterwards. And that second point is just an introduction to Matt Grady and just talking a bit about me asking Matt some questions, him sharing why he's here and what he's enjoyed doing with the brand or with the company. And then we'll take it from there. It'll be a short one. Like I said, the main intention is to share, talk about this message that I know we are aligned to, and to also introduce you to all of our followers, our audience, our subscribers, our email list, etc. So, Mr. Matt Grady, how are you today?
I'm amazing. Yes. Yeah, I feel like I'm living in alignment with my truest self, I think is a short one there.
Bro, you know me very well, right? There's like nothing you can say that's going to make me happier, regardless of whether you work or we work together or not. Yeah. If anyone walked up to me and I said, how are you? And they said, I'm living in alignment to my truth, or I'm living my truth. That is like the whole reason why I'm here. It's my purpose. It's what brings me joy. It's what makes me disciplined to keep pursuing my vision and my mission. So I love to hear that. I'd love to know, what is that? What is your truth? And why do you feel that you're aligned to that truth?
Well, I think, as you know, for those that don't know, you know, you've been a beacon for me in many ways over the years. And now I'm in your atmosphere. I was sort of on the periphery about a year ago, and I've made it my mission to get very close to the center of the universe over the last year. And now I'm here, really. And everything that I do on a daily basis is just completely aligned with the passions that I have in life. And that's high performance. That's values. That's high octane activity and delivering for the people that we impart our knowledge and wisdom and expertise on. And I think probably one of the biggest things is a quote I heard many years ago that's done the rounds, I'm sure, is you learn most when you teach. And
way to learn is to teach.
Yeah, I'm so happy to be able to express that in the work that we do together. And I think that's, you know, all the books, the hundreds of books, the hundreds of audios, the hours and hours of doing it. Now I can share it. I now feel like I'm living in my complete truth and full potential. And the brakes are off. You know, the brakes are really off now.
I mean, they've been off since day one. Actually, they were off since before day one. Yeah. Just other stuff that you were doing as a kind of student or follower or whatever. You just like done this, wrote a book, da da da. But you definitely are, you know, we have two nicknames for you, the Machine and Action Man. And you definitely are those two things. What's your opinion on, let me give context to my question. You just said I'm kind of learning as I'm going along but I'm in action in my truth, towards my truth, my full potential. Yeah. I'm using my own words. Yeah. But what's your opinion on? And as a coach for 19 years, I get told this so many times. Oh, I'll just learn a bit more and then I'll start. Yeah. Or, oh, you know what? Let me just get my shit together and then I'll commit. Like, what's your thoughts on that? Because clearly that's not your philosophy or that's not your way of thinking.
No, I think my simple form is learn by doing. And I wrote in the book as well that you, you know,
we haven't touched on yet. You can touch.
Absolutely. There is something about being a student of the game, but not in the sense of I need to know the history and the ins and outs of every microbiome to understand what I'm doing. But I think an appreciation for the game that you're trying to master is important. And we could talk about martial arts. We could talk about sports of any kind. I think there's an element of appreciation to what you're about to do. But I don't believe it's when the rubber hits the road and you start doing the doing that you really find out about yourself and whether you're on the right path. That's been really, really
I love that. You get clarity, right? And you know that that saying from one of our coaches as a company or as a business, Lisa Nichols, says you don't get action from clarity. Yeah. You get clarity from action.
Yeah. And another one, it's traction from action. You know, when you start making, you know, when you start going through the gears, that's when you really find another level. Mm. And I think people struggle with momentum and getting into momentum. They never start because they want it to be perfect. Yeah. Fuck that is what I think.
Well, it's so awesome to have you here. And I'm sure that you will host future episodes if I can't make it. And also you have some really extraordinary contacts from both business and from sport. To people that don't know a bit about Matt, Matt was a former golf pro. He did very well. He toured the world with golf. He got to experience many things. He made money from golf. It was his job. And then he went into business and sales and he did very well in that. And then he decided that, I don't know what brought you to my message, so to speak. Yeah. But the first time I saw you, it was just like, you just started commenting on everything. And then I did a live about why you should write a book. Like 30 days later, you were like, here's my book, done.
Yeah.
And then we just kind of stayed in contact. I think I was on a podcast. Did you have me on a podcast episode?
We did a podcast. Yeah, I was building a sort of leadership podcast at the time. And we spoke and just hit it off on so many levels, I think, JP. I think it's very rare. And I say to Tess, my other half, and people that I meet, There's only one JP comes into your life and they only come in once. You know, that might be some other person in somebody else's life who's listening.
But yeah.
But you were like the messenger for me. And when you came into my life, it's a very powerful message to say, go forward with full speed.
Oh, man, you couldn't put those words any better. It's probably why you're at the head of our coaching. Go forward with full speed. And, Matt says, you only get one JP one time in your life or something like that. And it's whoever you need to come into your life. And, you know, the work that I do has never been about me to people listening. It might look like it because I'm showing myself running or speaking or traveling or, you know, showing my, if I may say so myself, amazing physique for someone that's turning 42. I'm probably definitely a one percenter in that area, but it's not about me. What I'm doing is I'm trying to show people a reflection of who they could be in terms of freedom, wealth, health, happiness, joy, living your values, your truth, etc. And I was able to do that as a messenger. So I'm glad that you use that word. I was a messenger because that's all I want to be, is a messenger. I want to send a message or share a message that helps people on their journey. Your next journey or your last journey was making the transition from full-time employment to being essentially a partner in this business. Yeah. And, you know, it's very young. And to go back to what we shared before, you came in knowing fuck all. You just were like, let me just start. And there's a saying that I love, rather ask for, or many times, anyway, I don't want to get people into trouble. Many times it's better to ask for forgiveness than it is to ask for permission, because having to ask for permission will keep you stuck where you are. And you would just like create stuff, put stuff out. And then we'd be like, no, you can't do it. You're like, oh, sorry, next time. And you know, you'll get like 7-8 things right. And maybe one or two things wrong, but you've just come in full speed. And to people that don't know, even to our clients in our Live 100 Mastermind, to our students in OTE or our Best Life Facebook community, and to anyone else listening to the podcast, what is your, just so they have an understanding of what it is that you're doing here beside me, what is your role now at JPDV?
Yeah, so he's coaching director, a master coach within the business. There's a couple of hats that I wear, and maybe a few more over the next few weeks. But one of the key things is building our coaching community. You know, being able to build and grow and share the message that we have to share, our expertise, our experience, the tools and resources for current and future members of all our programs. So it's a real nurturing role around our community, but a very growth and forward looking role where we're looking to grow our coaching community, at least in the short term, to 100 individuals that can live their full potential through the methods and tools and resources that we share. If that helps.
explained. Yeah. And it was almost a selfish question because I was thinking like, you're doing probably more work than anyone did. And that's a compliment, by the way. I'm being playful. But obviously you give a title, you give responsibilities, jobs, etc. But I was interested to see from your perspective, which is a very passionate place, what you felt you bring to the table. And absolutely, it's 100% that, you know, nailing what we're doing now, I'll put it in my language, nailing what we're doing now and then clarifying what we're doing going forward. You've been bang on, my friend. It's been such a pleasure. We're going to do such amazing things in the future, from podcasts to retreats to live events. Matt's already doing, he's taken over a lot of coaching. I love the way he coaches, the way he teaches, the frameworks, the acronyms. It's just different, right? It's different. And when you've been coaching, as in myself, when you've been coaching for 19 years on your own in this mission, it's quite refreshing to hear someone in your mission saying it differently, as well as Mark Bryant. Massive props to Mark Bryant, who's also on the team as a coach anyway, master coach. So, dude, how are you enjoying it so far? I know it's only been, you know, this year, but how's it been for you so far? For people listening?
Yeah, it's been incredible. And actually, just rewinding to something you said earlier on, and something that was really important to me is that something you said earlier on was, you know, when people around me, Matt, they sometimes get a bit uncomfortable, you know, they don't always stick with me. Yeah. And I've had that experience in my own life in certain ways. The intensity is quite overwhelming sometimes to be around. And one of the key reasons of joining you and being part of your world and our journey now is that there are so many areas of my own life, and I recognize so many areas of my own development that I want to progress into. And I've seen you progress into that. So it's really important for me to be around somebody that is way ahead in certain aspects of life. So that's maybe a message to anybody listening, is to really surround yourself with people who do make you feel a bit uncomfortable, because if you're swimming around in a very cozy pool, you know, you're never going to be Michael Phelps. Just a point on that one.
Drop the mic, dude. Drop the mic. Yeah. Environment is everything. And as you know, not to share figures or names, but we just invested in a highly significant
high achiever.
In investment in a coach, if that's the right English. Yeah. Invested in a highly significant investment in a coach. Anyway, we just paid for coaching, invested in coaching as a team, an amount that probably 99.9% of people would say, what?
That's uncomfortable. Yeah.
And it was so uncomfortable. And what was the reward after our first session?
I mean, I'm blown away. I filled a journal. I went into calls immediately with the same energy and the tools and resources and the vocabulary, the lexicon.
That's a word that was shared a few times.
Just eye-opening, mind-blowing way of presenting what we already do in a very, very articulate and passionate way.
When you get around the right people and and they share the right things with you, it changes. It has the potential to change everything. Yeah. And to people watching and listening, I was saying beforehand, like, I invested my own money because I believe in what we're doing right now. We've just built a very big team just in the last few months, like going from nothing. I reset my entire life and business, and we're starting from the ground up. And I was like, yeah, I don't want to do this alone anymore. Yeah. I've got the dreams. I've got the vision, got the mission, got the passion. And I was like, let me get the right people around me. And they elevated me. But then when we engaged with this coach, which was like me sitting on the edge of my seat and everyone on the team going, oh, that's a hell of an investment. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to use my own money for this. Coming out of that, I was like, I was thinking, aha, I get it. Not like I've never got it before,
yeah,
but I get investing,
yes,
at a whole nother level. Because even my investing in myself or my business over the last few years probably has got comfortable.
Yeah.
But that was so uncomfortable. Mm. And as a result, you know, what do you think is going to change as a result of even just our first session with this coach?
I mean, some of the thoughts I had is you can watch these level of people, yourself and us and what we're doing. You can watch as many videos on YouTube as you like, but until you're in the environment and you're receiving that coaching and it's coming to you directly through the screen or in person, it's a whole other level. I mean, hard to quantify, but stratospheric is the word that I would use.
Absolutely. Stratospheric. And, you know, I'm just reflecting on this now. I'm just realizing it sounds like we're pitching coaching, which in a way we are, but we're doing it from a place of passion.
Yeah.
Because we're doing it ourselves. We're not actually trying to sell you anything in this podcast.
Yeah.
This is just a podcast episode to inspire you, to educate you, to help you get clarity on what we're doing. But, yeah, in a way, what we've just shared is actually saying why you should have a coach, but a coach that you have to invest in at a level that you go, oh my God, like this has to work. Yeah. And then hopefully
it does.
The coach has the good.
It just will. Yeah, you've completely got to walk the walk. You know, there were times in my early career where I had to invest in my own performance as well, individually as a player. And it was uncomfortable because I always thought I could do it alone.
Yeah,
I've got the physical attributes, I've got the technical attributes, I've got the mindset, da da da. But it wasn't until somebody could say, well, that's all right, Matt, but there's another 60% in you. All right, then.
Ouch.
Let's go.
That's the David Goggins thing that you and I know, getting to the end of your life and God telling you who you could have been and realizing you weren't that person. I mean, that for me is hell.
But to answer your question as well, we've done so much, we've achieved so much in a short space of time. And there's just so many things that we're taking on, but we're laying the bricks now to something much bigger than what it is at the moment. And that's really powerful to know that we're on that path.
Yeah. And it feels good, right? Like, you know, I always say progress equals happiness, and it's surely not my words. I've read it or listened to it somewhere, but when you really are making progress, like it's fire or fuel for the soul. I want to ask you some questions.
Yeah.
I just like kind of rapid fire questions and answers. How important is passion?
It is extremely important. That's just my quick answer.
You can do the quick answer. That's fine.
Yeah.
And how important is clarity in life?
Essential.
How important is courage?
Essential.
How important is community? We've already touched on that, obviously.
Maybe I shouldn't say essential. I can't say another word other than it's essential.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. It's like it's a must. Yeah. It's not, oh, this is a really nice idea.
Non-negotiable.
Non-negotiable. It's a great choice of words. We just ran an event recently called BNN, Be Non-Negotiable, and it was an absolute amazing event. And Matt closed the event, his first ever coaching gig, I think, right?
Yeah, that was it. That was the first ever time.
And bro, it was the perfect event. I actually went back the next day and rewatched your session because it was all about just being absolutely non-negotiable and specifically looking at where in your day are you doing activities that aren't taking you towards your goals. And I was like, even for me, I'm conscious of this, but I was like, the way you did it with that framework, I was like, man, there's still many more things I can remove. And that's all dead space. That's not getting you anywhere towards where you want to go. And then last one, before we move on to the other thing that I want to talk about, it moves us into that. Nice. How important, in your opinion, is loving what you do? You can't say essential.
I don't want to spot you.
You can't say non-negotiable.
Yeah. I think loving what you do is a result of something else. Maybe I won't spot. I think it's incredibly important. It's a key component.
Do you want to expand on that a bit?
Yeah, Simon Sinek's quote, which I heard recently, which really brings this together for me, is working hard for something we don't care about is called stress.
Stress.
Working hard for something we love is called
passion.
Passion. Boom. And that's me and you and the people we surround ourselves with is the love of it is the passion. And you can work harder on something that you're passionate about and love.
Maybe. Yeah, that's a great answer. No, yeah, that is a perfect segue. And, I share that quote often with clients, even friends, because many times people think that they're stressed because they're stressed and they're overworking. Mm. But the real stress lies in they don't enjoy what they do. I mean, I made a bold statement the other day in a podcast when I was talking on my own on the podcast episode. And I said, most people don't even like their life, never mind love. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, if you're having to work hard, just to anyone listening or watching this, think about this. If you're having to work even medium to hard or medium hard at something that you don't enjoy, of course, you're going to feel stress because you don't want to be there. Mm-hmm. And stress equals, I don't want to be in the place that I'm in right now, whether that's energetically, environmentally, mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, all of the above. So on that thing that I mentioned before, I was out cycling. I'd been working all morning. I was doing a hard ride hills. And I was just thinking that most people, it was around lunchtime, most people have just had a coffee, shitty breakfast, gone to work. And I've absolutely smashed the day. And it's not because I have more energy than other people. I suffer with energy. You know, I hate to say this. I hate saying this. But I have to accept it. I'm learning to accept it, that after my accident, my body is not what it used to be. I am in pain every day of my life. I keep putting off a fight because I train 2-3 days and then literally I'm broken and then I have to rest. And anyway, I'm getting there. But I got so much done in my day and then I still went out for a ride and I still smashed the ride. And I was thinking, this is not a matter about energy. This is a matter of clarity and passion as well as other things. Yeah. So what's your view on, like I mentioned before, some people saying, you know, I've had a lot of corporate clients say this to me, doing what you love, all that. Come on, man, just do your fucking job. Shut up. Don't complain and get paid.
Yeah.
Some of those clients have come back years later and said, I'm not happy. Mm. One client even said to me, I don't love myself. And this is one person that I really thought I should be like. As in just work and don't have an opinion of doing what you love. Whereas other people are like, oh, you shouldn't have to work hard. You should just love what you do. But then if you're not working hard at what you love, how can you reach your full potential?
Yeah.
Because everyone has 24 hours in a day. So I'm talking a lot because I love talking to you, but I'm going to hand over to you now. Yeah. Like, what's your thoughts on that? You know, because we both work really hard, but it also doesn't feel like work. Even though to other people it looked like work, and which is, you know, takes us back to that concept of flow. Flow is being in a flow state where other people are like, well, how is he doing that? Or how is she doing that? So what's your opinion on that and why you've chosen to live your life in the middle or on your middle part?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's impossible to be stressed doing something you love, which means that you can increase the output towards what you love and the passion, the hard work. And so I think a lot of people who've listened to online quotes have probably heard Steve Jobs, like, you're going to do what you're going to do, you're going to love what you do, and so on. I bet he worked like a machine. You know, I'm pretty sure he did work like a machine.
And he worked people like a machine as well.
Yeah. And, you know, Tim Cook, the new Apple CEO, you know, 4 a.m. calls on a Sunday with his team, you know, to keep them, let's go, you know, let's not just sit back here. We're Apple, but we're not just, you know.
Have you heard the story about Elon Musk? He said to everyone at Tesla, when he started Tesla, you're going to work harder than any company that you've ever worked in before.
I haven't heard, I've heard a lot of his stuff, but yes.
But he was like, basically, he loves what he does.
Yeah.
And he was like, if you're going to play with me, you've got to be all in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's otherwise you're not here.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think you really find out a lot about yourself when you go hard at something, and you quickly find whether if you're going to persist and continue to go, you're onto something. But if you can't continue at the level of consistency, another Simon Sinek thing, he said, you go to the gym, you go home, you look in the mirror, you don't look any different. You go back tomorrow, you go to the gym, you come home, you don't look any different. But you get that routine, you get that persistency, you get that discipline, and all of a sudden things start to happen. Mm. So I, again, maybe going back to over old ground on learning by doing, and being honest with yourself. I think that's a really big thing for me, being really honest about what it is you want to achieve out of anything that you do. And if it's the absolute best, you have got to go all in. There's no other way.
I think you could live, anyone could live if we take a UK or London slang, kushti, comfortable.
Yeah, yeah.
You could live a comfortable life doing what you love.
Yeah.
But if you want to be the best at what you do, to be able to share your gift with others, it's not about, it doesn't, being the best doesn't have to be about being seen. Yeah. There's a lot of people in the world that are the absolute best at what they do, and no one knows who they are.
Yeah.
Because they like to be in the background. They like to be private. I mean, you got Steve Jobs. We mentioned Steve Jobs. He was, you got to love what you do, if you're going to be able to, whatever. Yeah. But there's, there's lots of quotes about him saying, you have to love what you do.
Yes.
If he goes, if you're going to do anything well, you have to love what you do. Those are his words, but I could be wrong. But no one talked about Steve Wozniak. Many people talked about Steve Wozniak or the other people working in Apple. But if you want to create something great, you've got to be all in. Whether that is all in meditation or all in the hustle, but both both sides of the spectrum, business and spirituality, there's still work required. I mean, you think, if we go back 2000 years, Buddha, he didn't just meditate for 10 minutes a day and then share his wisdom. He meditated all day.
Yeah.
Monks today, they meditate all day and then they share that wisdom. So what is that work for people that they need to do? But yeah, like you said, you have to love it. And for me, that is so important. And I want to come back to you and have you share some more things. But something that just came up for me when you were sharing is, I got to a point where I really felt like I should listen to other people's opinions. And just recently I did a video, you've probably reshared it, you've probably done something or watched it. And I said, be careful of listening to people's opinions. Opinions are important, but not all opinions matter. Mm. And all of my life, people have been telling me I shouldn't work so hard. And then in stepping back last year, 2022, and just being on my own a lot and getting a lot of clarity, I realized this is my nature. Like because I always chase what I love. It's the one of the first tattoos I had on my chest. Do what you love, love what you do. I don't want a day off. And what's interesting in reflection is it's people that don't like their job that are telling me I need to take a break from my job.
Well, people who feel uncomfortable by you being the way you are makes them look
true.
A certain way.
So let me ask you, having been a professional athlete for years, what's your thoughts on that? On people telling you that you shouldn't work so hard or that you shouldn't be working every day. What's your thoughts on that?
First thing that I wanted to say, you can't be half pregnant. The majority of the people that were around me were trying to do it almost to protect me in a way. Mom, would be very good at saying, oh, don't go to, you go to the gym again, you're going to it for another run, or don't spend too much time out there. They're kind of doing it. Certain people are doing it out of love and they just want to protect you from injury
burnout
and all that kind of stuff. But you have to part that. I think my opinion is if they haven't been where you want to go, they don't have an opinion. They might have some advice or be able to give you something. But unfortunately, if they haven't shared the path or been somewhere that I want to be, it's very much white noise.
We need to clip that out as a quote because I've never heard that said like that before. And that is powerful for every single one of our students and anyone that's willing to listen. Can you say that again? If they haven't been where you've been.
If they haven't been where I want to go, they don't have an opinion.
They might have advice, but they can't.
Might have advice, but they don't have an opinion, unfortunately. Unless Tiger Woods is turning up to talk to me about golf, I don't listen to many people.
I said a few years ago that it's usually, and I'm not being disrespectful, I'm just...
Yeah. Let's be honest.
I'm not going to justify why I'm saying this, but that's the old me. But it's fat people that say you shouldn't go to the gym every day. It's poor people that say money's not important, or, you know, success isn't important. Yeah. It's unhappy people that take the piss out of you from going to spiritual events and focusing on your happiness and your fulfillment and your inner peace.
Yeah.
It's people that are employed in a job they don't like, that say, oh, you shouldn't start your own business. Once again, just, you know, saying again, opinions are important, but not all opinions matter. And, you know, to go off what you said, actually, some people's opinions aren't opinions. They're advised based on their reality and what they think about you, the world, themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree. I heard another slightly more rude one about opinions that probably everybody...
Everyone knows that
just
one.
Google it. Yeah, just Google it. Yeah, I think, you know, it's like me turning up and giving you advice about Muay Thai. Forget about it, Grady. You know, you've got... Mm-hmm. You haven't even been in the ring.
You know, or me giving you advice about golf. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
It'd be like, cheers, Matt. You know, just stay in your lane, brother. You know, stay. So I think there's real clarity when you can be really honest about these things. You know, so talking with you about this, it's like kindred spirits on
100%.
On this mindset. It is very much.
What do you love most about what you do now?
Wow. I think having the, I know I always had the breaks off and I was very quick, you know, it's the book and so, but when you think about it, I was only breaks off about the things that I was really passionate about, getting the book out there, joining in on the coaching. I think what I love about what I do now is it is in complete alignment with, you could say, values, but the simple way would say the things that are most important to me on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
And I think then as a result of that, our clients and the people that I interact with, even if they're not a client, get to see the best version of me. And that's been in a box for a long time. You know, turned 40 last year, you know, I've joined the club in the 40s. I look back and I think there's so many times that I suppressed my higher performing self and suppressed the guy that was going to upset somebody by saying something. Whereas now, whatever I say and whatever I share, it's coming from a place of love, but also in a place that helps somebody else get to their next level.
Mm.
That helps. That's not too much.
Yeah, that's a great answer. Did you not see me? I took a, for those not on video, I just took a big sigh. That was an awesome answer, dude. And what you just shared about, by you living in your values, people are able to get the best version of you. In my opinion, unapologetic opinion, if you are not the best version of yourself, that's bloody selfish. Because, I say this respectfully because I have clients, obviously, private clients, and I've had private clients for many, many years. But I'm still shocked when people say, I don't have time to, let's just call it, work on myself.
Yeah.
Oh, because I'm serving my family, I'm serving my business, etc. But I always get into conversations about their values and what's important to them. And it's, you know, always their business and the team and their family. And I'm like, what do you want for them? Well, I want the very best for them. Okay, you want the very best for them, but you don't actually take the best for yourself. So you don't even give yourself permission to live your best life, and you're expecting other people to be inspired by you to do the same. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Absolutely.
Like, to not be the best version of you. I'm not saying be perfect. I'm not perfect. My, you know, the way I live my life to others isn't perfect, but it's me feeling that this is my best life. And people pick up on that energy. Energy is contagious. When you walk into a Matt room, people want to know, what does he do? You know, I've lived my life like that, wanting to live my life in a way that people go, whatever he's selling, I'm buying, right? Mm-hmm. Certainty, energy, living on purpose. And when you do that, you're able to inspire people to do the same. And I don't know if you've read the Marianne Williamson poem called Return to Love, but she says, when you liberate yourself, I can't remember now. When you liberate yourself, you probably have it in 3 seconds. Something about when you liberate yourself or you free yourself, you give other people permission to do the same.
That sounds good to me.
And isn't that the greatest thing that you can do while you're here? Give permission, give people permission to live their best life. And think about your children. You know, by you being non-negotiable around living your best life and aligning, you know, to go back to what you shared, aligning your life to your highest values, just by the way you show up in life, you are giving your children permission to do the same. And they will, for the rest of their life, think, if my dad can do that or my mom can do that, of course I can do that. But if on the contrary or on the opposite of that, if you say, oh, you know, I'd love to, but I can't, that is the message that you ingrain in your children. And you as a parent, I'm sure that must
be. It's very liberating. And actually, we've had some change in our house this year in by me making decisions aligned to my truth.
Yeah.
By being with you as well and committing, it's inspired my other half to make decisions in her life and her career. And as a result, it's impacted our daughter and her way of expressing herself. She's only 9, but you know, how she shows up is very different, and the language that she uses. I think just by letting these barriers down and moving through them, we can live our best life, really.
You know, living your best life, living your full potential, living your values. This is what we do at JPDV Performance, right? The center of everything that we do, our coaching, our speaking, our content that we put out. In your opinion, how important is that for, if someone was asking you this question, what would you say to them? I'm the person speaking. Matt, how important is aligning your life and your business to your values?
I think it's the only way to move forward, because until you know your values, your highest values, let's say top 5, it's impossible with certainty, clarity, to do anything to the best of your ability. Because it's always going to be opposing the values. It's always going to be opposing what you really value the most. Let's say, maybe I can expand on that.
Yeah.
So the question around why is it so important to align yourself to your values?
To align your life to your values and your business to your values.
I think not only does it simplify your world, it gives you extreme clarity and focus on where to go and how to do it and how to show up best. And you may have, let's say, family as a goal. And to use the example, how can you possibly give your family, how can family be your top value if the state of your physical health is extremely poor? So any value that you do choose, you need to be willing. You need to be willing, yes, and committed to doing everything to make that a possibility. That makes sense. I'm potentially going off on a tangent there slightly, but
sense. I mean, what were you going to say?
Maybe to simplify it, it's the values create certainty.
Yeah, that's actually what I was going to get to right now.
Okay, so my head is scrambling with stuff.
Yeah, we center around spiritual fitness. Spiritual fitness, essentially, for people that don't know what that is, it's resilience, persistence, faith, personal power, never giving up, never settling. And in spiritual fitness, 3 pillar ingredients for spiritual fitness is certainty, energy, and living on purpose. When you align your life to your values, I'm asking you now, Matt, obviously I know the answer for these and probably everyone knows what you're going to say.
Let's do it.
Exactly.
But it's so true.
When you're aligning, when you are living inside your values, like these are the things that I love and my life is aligned to it, meaning I only do things I love and I work really hard at it.
Yes.
When you are loving, when your life is aligned to your values and what you do for work or your career or your business is aligned to your values, does certainty go up or down?
Up.
Energy up or down?
Through the roof.
Purpose up or down?
Or constant up. Yeah.
And this is what the model that we teach, obviously, certainty, yeah. Energy on purpose, CEO. Yeah. And that's how you become the CEO of your life. Do you feel now that you've made clear, courageous, compassionate moves to follow your truth and live in your highest values and you know, really taking some risks over the last few months? Do you feel like the CEO of your life right now, and why?
Yes, I do, 100%, because I am taking accountability for my life. And the life that I want to live.
Mm. Amazing, man. I know we're going to do many things together. I'm looking forward to future podcasts with you. Can't wait to see you in Dubai. And yeah, just thanks for everything, dude. You've come in like a storm, but kind of like a warm, cuddly storm at the same time. Like,
yeah, it's got a soft edge, hasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. A storm with a soft edge. Yeah, because you got such a good heart, man. And you're so humble. But you're so, so, so driven, to use a word that comes from golf or drive anyway.
It is. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Would you say the word driven in golf?
You'd say drive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyone that's interested in knowing more about Matt's ways of coaching and inspiring people to be their best selves, go check out his book on Amazon. Do you want to talk a little bit about your book?
Yeah, Making the Cut. It was going to be called Turning Pro, but I couldn't nick that from Stephen Pressfield, the War of Art guy. It's called Making the Cuts, inspired by you. And the subtext is turning pro in sport, business and life. And something we love and share closely is the theory of being amateur, of being professional, not amateur.
Yeah.
And would you ever call yourself an amateur dad? An amateur businessman, an amateur friend, an amateur salesperson. You just wouldn't want to be associated with that word amateur. So to be
don't say sorry. You were talking. I thought you were done. Sorry. But, you know, two things that I've heard you say previously, one in our last event a few weeks ago was, if you get paid for anything, you're a professional at that thing. So act like a professional. And what's the other one? Amateurs dabble.
Professionals are all in. Yeah, all in. Because if you're getting paid for anything, it is your duty to perform in a professional.
At your best.
Yeah. And I found the Marianne Williamson. I found another one. It says, you're playing small does not serve the world. Gee. Boom.
How selfish is that? You know, many people, I'm sure, look at my life and probably will look at your life and be like, oh, you're always, you know, running and this and that. But it's like, and thinking, oh, it's all about you. No, you're playing small. There's no amount of playing small that serves the world. So what are you going to do while you're here? Dude, yeah. I love you. The team loves you. Our clients, students love you. And looking forward to sharing you with more people, man, and having some fun along the way.
Absolutely. Let's play.
Joy, passion, discipline, vision.
That's right. Thank you, JP. Amazing.
Thank you so much, dude. It's been so awesome.
Thank you, JP.